Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to John Cockerill India Limited Q1 and CY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. François-David Martineau, Chairman, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on our Quarter One calendar year 2026 earnings conference call. I am joined by Marc Dumont, our CFO. We have uploaded our financial results and investor presentation on stock exchanges and companies' websites. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. The first quarter of 2026 reinforces our confidence that the business is progressing in the right direction operationally, financially, and strategically. We have established a strong foundation for future growth by consolidating our growth businesses and integrating our metal business under a single entity in India. The benefits of these initiatives are now beginning to take shape. Yes, the numbers are stronger, and the year has begun on a solid footing, supported by an increase in order intake, a healthy pending order book, and sharp focus on execution. During the quarter, we have witnessed strong order wins, a growing order book, and a robust order pipeline. We have also secured an order from JSW Steel for a CGL project valued at approximately 4.4 billion rupees to 4.7 billion rupees. As on March 2026, our standalone order book stands at approximately 13 billion rupees and reflects a 101% year-on-year increase. Revenue for the quarter stood at 2,000 million rupees, registering a growth of 162% year-on-year. Standalone EBITDA stood at rupees. I will resume. So the revenue for the quarter stood at 2,000 million rupees, registering a growth of 162% year-on-year. Standalone EBITDA stood at 114 million rupees compared to a negative EBITDA in the corresponding period last year. Standalone EBITDA has improved significantly compared to last year and has remained stable over the last three quarters. However, margins were impacted compared to last quarter due to certain upfront costs related to hiring and organizational alignment undertaken to prepare the business for future growth. A shift in product with higher proportion of large projects compared to value-added services and service one-off expenses related to consolidation and integration activities held within the standalone business, which impacted overall EBITDA. This quarter marks the beginning of a new phase for GCL. While the headline numbers are encouraging, the most important takeaway is that the improvement is becoming increasingly sustainable. Structurally, the business is evolving into a more integrated and disciplined organization, better positioned to align with the global direction of the steel industry. Key developments during the quarter include the reorganization of the sales function, which is beginning to deliver tangible benefits. While the operational team is being strengthened proactively in anticipation of future growth and to ensure smooth execution capabilities. As the business scales, disciplined cash management will remain a key focus area for the company. The order pipeline remains very strong, particularly with high-quality order wins for marquee customers, and we expect execution momentum to strengthen further over the coming quarters. We are witnessing strong demand from customers who are investing not only in capacity expansion but also in advanced processing capabilities, electrical steel, downstream quality enhancement, and modernization initiatives. Several of the project wins and order pipeline indicate a direct reflection of these evolving industry trends. Speaking about the consolidated financial performance, this marks the first quarter in which we are reporting consolidated results. That means the Q1 consolidated performance includes the operations of China, Belgium, and Germany entities from January 2026 onwards. On a consolidated basis, the consolidated order book stands at approximately 33 billion rupees. Revenue for the quarter stood at 3.4 billion, reflecting a 56% year-on-year growth. EBITDA turned positive at 49 million rupees compared to the negative EBITDA of 14.9 million for the same period last year. EBITDA margins stood at 1.4%, largely impacted on account of integration costs and consolidation adjustments associated with the ongoing business integration. Going forward, the cost structure is gradually aligning from the west towards India and China, which is expected to drive operational synergies and efficiency improvements over time, improving the margin trajectory. Impact on margins were also on account of our investments making development of new technologies. While these investments are impacting EBITDA in the near term, they are expected to contribute meaningfully to future growth and long-term value creation. Speaking briefly about steel industry, global markets remained mixed. Europe continues to face pressures from high energy costs and weak industrial sentiment, while China, despite remaining the world's largest steel producer, is becoming more selective in capital expenditure, with greater focus on advanced technologies and decarbonization. In line with this trend, we are strengthening our presence in China. At the same time, geopolitical tensions in the Middle East are creating uncertainty across energy markets, logistics, and commodity flows, which could lead to short-term volatility in the steel sectors globally. Against this backdrop, India continues to stand out as one of the strongest steel investment markets globally, driven by infrastructure spending, manufacturing growth, automotive demand, and renewable energy investment, and the shift towards higher value. This is creating long-term demand for advanced downstream processing lines, galvanizing lines, cold rolling capabilities, electrical steel processing, and life cycle services, area where GCL is strongly positioned. The industry is also evolving, with steel producers increasingly prioritizing efficiency, energy optimization, product quality, sustainability, and decarbonization. These trends align well with the strengths of the John Cockerill Group technology portfolio. A key strategic milestone for the company is the consolidation of the group's metal business under the GCIL platform. This is not just a structural integration, but the creation of one integrated global metal business with India at the center of the operation, execution, and manufacturing. Combining technology expertise, manufacturing strengths, execution capabilities, and access to one of the fastest-growing steel markets globally. To conclude, I would say overall, we are entering the next phase with a much stronger foundation, a stronger order book, improving execution capabilities, and a more integrated global business platform. With India continuing to remain one of the most attractive steel investment markets globally, we believe the growth opportunity ahead is significant. We also see significant long-term potential from new technologies, such as jet vapor deposition, which align with industry shifts towards high efficiency, superior coating quality, and lower environmental impact. We remain committed to investing in this segment, including the rolls coating facility at Taloja, which is expected to be commissioned shortly. This facility will introduce specialized coating capabilities in India, with significantly faster turnaround times for customers. While we remain focused on disciplined execution and long-term value creation, GCL today operates with far greater clarity, capability, and ambition than it did just a few years ago. The direction is clear, the platform is stronger, and we are all well-positioned for the next phase of growth. With this, I will end my opening remarks, and Mark and myself are happy to take questions. I will also take this opportunity to invite you to our annual general meeting for more detailed discussions on June the 12th, the details of which will be soon available on our website. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Anand Shah from J. Anand Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Shah.
Yeah. Sir, just firstly, maybe due to poor audio quality, maybe I could personally not understand a significant part of the address given by the chairman. I don't know, maybe next time the audio quality can get improved. Yeah. Firstly, I would like to take this opportunity to once again thank the parent for reposing faith in the Indian listed entity and for having done the game-changing deal of bringing the entire global steel equipment business under the fold of Indian listed entity. Having said that, regarding the quarterly performance, on a standalone basis, while the revenues have grown 160% on a year-on-year basis and 94% on a QOQ basis, the company has not witnessed any benefit of operating leverage that we would have expected from such a dramatic increase in revenues. So can you please explain why when your revenues are at kind of all-time quarterly high levels, the operating leverage factor didn't kick in and get reflected in the bottom line? Besides, why did the employment cost shoot up by 34% on a YOY basis, and the increase in employment cost is much more dramatic when you look on a QOQ basis? Yes, these are primarily my two questions. Thanks, sir.
Thank you for the question. Maybe Marc Dumont, our CFO, can take the question.
There are three factors if you look. Yes, our revenue has increased. Our material margin is stable, but indeed our structure cost has increased. And when you see this, there are certain reasons for this. First, we have some upfront costs related to hiring and organization realignment.
But your voice is not very audible. I don't know what's the issue. Your somehow
so we can hear. I'm sorry, but we can hear him properly.
Okay, fine, sir. Go ahead.
I will repeat maybe more loud, if you allow me. So, first of all, there are some certain upfront costs related to hiring and organizational realignment, because we have the future growth to prepare. Then we have also a shift in our product mix. You see that we are getting over quarters, we are adding new projects, big projects with JSW, with Tata, Tinkal. And those projects, compared to the value services, there is a shift in the mix. Then there is a third point, which is a kind of one-off. We, when we do this consolidation, this integration of activity, then yes, there are some expenses due to consolidation, support for running this to go through the bank, etc. So those costs are kind of one-off for allowing this consolidation. So some are one-off, some are mixed, to summarize, and some are, again, we are preparing the growth, and that's the reason why we see this effect.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Venkatesh Subramanian from Logic Tree Consultant Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Congratulations on the consolidation processor. My question is, sir, can you give us an indication of the order pipeline, perhaps over the next 12 to 24 months, what you are looking for? Basically, say to 24 months down the line, where do you expect the global order pipeline to be? That's question one, sir. And second, in some of the previous con calls of last year, you had indicated that you might secure a large-sized order from one of the government steel companies in India, where we are developing a relationship. Can you indicate some progress on that?
Thank you for your question. So on the first question regarding the pipeline, our opinion is that the trend will be positive in the next 24 months. We expect more orders coming in, especially from number one, the Indian market, which is extremely dynamic and still investing heavily to double the capacity of the country for 2030. While we are also taking good solid ground in China, and we see also our order book in China growing pretty fast. The third aspect we see as a positive trend is that green steel is slowly building its path amongst steel mills, and we also see growing interest for JVD technology, which should also translate in more orders in the future. Regarding the second question, which was, again, can you repeat the second question?
I think we were given the impression that apart from the private Indian steel-making companies like JSW, etc., you were also talking to some of the Indian government-owned companies in steel-making for a large order in terms of refurbishment of the old steel plants. This was indicated in one of the calls. So, but you said the process takes some time. So just wanted to know the progress.
Yes, exactly. So we signed, as you may know, 1 year ago, a little bit more than 1 year ago, a minute of understanding with SAIL, Steel Authority India Limited. And we are working on this, let's say, memorandum to build up concrete and solid projects of investment in the future. I cannot disclose more than that for the time being.
Okay, sir. Great. So follow-up question is, say, after this process of consolidation is over, say, a few quarters down the line, where do you expect the operating margins to be, sir, as a percentage?
So we expect from the next quarter on improvement in margins due to the fact that the orders we have registered on Q1 and also the one we got in the second half of the year in 2025, we start to, let's say, translate into positive results.
Okay, positive operating margins. Okay, so I can ask one more question?
Yes, sure, go ahead.
So Voltaron is a technology that's mainly useful in the upstream process of the steel making, especially when it comes to iron ore mining, etc. Considering that India is also trying to expand its scope in iron ore, companies like NMDC, Vedanta, etc., do you see prospects for Voltaron orders in India?
So Voltaron Technologies belongs to the John Cultural Group. And is a very promising technology which has been developed with ArcelorMittal. We are right now, let's say, fine-tuning our strategy for the next months to come, and we'll be able to communicate more on Voltaron. We see India as one of the best possible country for Voltaron, since Voltaron is a technology which operational costs are based on 70% on electricity and availability of iron ore, whatever the quality is. So we believe that India should follow the path of green steel through Voltaron, and the country is offering through, let's say, a solar farm, green electricity, and local iron ore a good base for good quality and price competitive production.
Okay, so I understand we'll hear more of this in the coming quarters.
Correct.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations on posting a good site. I just have one question on the new global entities that have been merged. I think you indicated in the last couple of calls that you'd be able to speak a little bit more about their businesses after they are integrated into JCIN. I'm just curious if you could provide some color on what the global steel capex cycle looks like for you, and especially with what is going on globally as far as geopolitics is concerned. Are you seeing some slowdown in pipelines or order bids? If you could shed some light on that, that'd be great. Thank you.
So we see a mixed situation based on different countries. The four main markets we are following up is India, China, US and Europe, and there we are well established. I would say India represents for us a positive trend due to the fact that John Cockerill is able to offer, even in China, competitive price, but especially new added value technologies, which are bringing our Chinese customers to invest in more competitive solutions. Even if the market goes down, a technology representing better quality and or better operational cost will always find its way, even in a depressed or slowing down market. Europe stays a standby market and will most probably see its biggest transformation next year. The European government is building up new quotas for imports, which will protect the local steel mills more and better in the future. And that will bring more demands from the European market. The American market is a market representing the best steel price per ton. And we see there also a lot of movements of consolidation of steel mills, but also newcomers like Nippon Steel, who purchase U.S. steel and will most probably build a strong investment pipeline in the next years to come.
Right, sir. Thank you. Just a quick follow-up on that. When you say that new technology will find a footing even when there is an order slowdown, is that to indicate that instead of new capex lines that come in, you will probably have more of an upgradation order book going forward, and will that have effect on your margins or working capital or anything of that sort?
Yes, we believe that even in a slowdown situation and when some players have to replace the existing line which becomes too old to perform, they will go to more added value lines rather than cheap lines. This is the trend we see, especially on the main major steel mills in China. And as a reminder, out of the top 10 biggest steel producers in the world, six of them are Chinese.
Right, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitisha from Anvil. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, you are. Good afternoon.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, yeah. So I just wanted one clarification. In the presentation, when we mentioned that Walteron is not part of the consolidation, so I just wanted to know the revenues from the Walteron technology and the results, will it flow to John Cockerill India?
So Walteron has no revenue yet due to the fact that it is ready for commercialization only since few weeks. So we are reshaping completely the Walteron strategy right now, and especially we are conducting a reflection on how GCIL will contribute and benefit from the Walteron deployments in the future. This is under evaluation, yes.
Yeah. So whenever the revenue will flow, it will be a part of JCI, right?
Under one form or another, it will be the case. Right now, it is too early to communicate about that since we are in strategic discussion with the promoter, who is the owner of the IP of Volkswagen.
Okay, thank you. And sir, one more question. Our consolidated order book, as mentioned, is around 3,300 crore. So I just wanted to know, over how many years is this executable?
Marc Dumont, can you please reply to the question?
Yeah, so it's over. So could you repeat your question just to be sure we answer correctly?
Yeah. So the consolidated order book as on March 2026 of 33,000 million, it is executable over how many years?
Our last project, which is the majority of this order book, is over 3 years.
Okay.
We have the value services, which is a smaller portion of this, is more kind of revamping of spare parts, and this is more over 12 to 18 months. But the vast majority is more over 3 years.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sumit with Century Investment. Please go ahead. Sumit, you may please proceed ahead with your question.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask that since there is...
There's a background noise, if you can check, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a minute. Yeah. So, sir, thank you for the opportunity. As I have seen that there is a consolidation of the metal business, particularly. So we have not seen any operating leverage in this quarter, particularly. So can you just guide post-consolidation, what are the margins we can expect and the financial and operating leverage will be playing?
Thank you and good afternoon. Thank you for the question. I think this is a question for Marc Dumont.
So first of all, we agree that the margin we have, the EBITDA level we have, is not what we are looking for, and we are anyway working on improving our structure. As we mentioned to you, we are moving from west to east. It will take some time, but that's what we are working on, a plan over the next 18 months. So we are aiming right now, we have an EBITDA at around consolidated at around 3%, and it will go step by step, not but we over what we are aiming is really be at more than 10% over the next 3 years and achieving already probably to be in the middle of the path, like beginning of next year.
One more question I had. Is the company planning any CapEx in the near future so we can see any particular impact on the margins of the company?
CapEx, we are first an engineering company. So CapEx is limited, even if we are right now, for example, investing in the rolls coating. So we are about to have the rolls coating activity starting. So CapEx is limited. It's not very CapEx intensive. So it's not the main effect. However, we must admit that right now in our P&L, one of the effect is we are developing solutions, new solutions, new technologies, and this has an effect also on the heavy cost that you see. So, and unfortunately, you don't see it yet on our revenue. We are discussing about DVD, and that's something which will come in the coming quarters. But we are right now still investing on fine-tuning the technology. Same for Volteron. There are costs here, and we are working on this, but here it will be on more medium term. So our P&L is growing in terms of revenue. We still don't see completely the new technologies having the benefit. We see right now more the cost than the benefits. The benefits will come in the next quarters.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek Sanghvi from Equinal Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. The management had earlier indicated plans for fundraise, which now appears to have been deferred. Could the management explain the rationale behind the deferment? And one more question on USA business. So earlier, your previous presentation also mentions that USA business will be consolidated later into JCIL. Could management elaborate on likely timeline and the structure of the transaction?
François, is that okay if we take it on?
Sure, go ahead.
So on this funding, board is still exploring options. We have another board which is evaluating the options, and we have another board foreseen in the next 2 to 3 weeks to come to better answers. Once we have complete clarity and we have really explored all the options which are available to us, then we will revert with a better answer, to be very honest, and we will, of course, inform on due time.
And what about the fundraise?
That's what I was saying. On the fundraise, we are right now looking at different, we are exploring different options.
Okay, and couple of months back, the promoters had diluted their stake. So will the shareholding be 74%, or they will bring it, or you guys will bring it down? Any update on that?
At this stage, first, the shareholder have the right to change at any time, but right now, I think we are in a certain position, and we think staying in this in this level.
Okay. And the US and the update on USA business.
USA is we are still here. Also, we are still investigating. There are some technical issues on consolidating USA. So either we are able to achieve that by the end of the year, or maybe it would be discussion on maybe postponing slightly, but not so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Munzal Shah from MSFO. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions. One is, you have stated that you would be paying not more than 500 crores for the acquisition of European, Chinese and US business. Now that the European and Chinese acquisition is done, which is roughly close to 320 odd crores, and if I see your console and standalone revenue, the difference is close to 600 crores. So roughly you have paid, 0.5 times revenue for Europe and Chinese acquisition. And if I just do my maths, and earlier con call, you had mentioned that consult turnover will be close to 2,000 crores. So the US business, you are acquiring roughly 1,000 crores revenues for 200 crores. Is my understanding right?
Thank you for your question. Mark, do you want to take it as well?
So, first of all, we are not exactly in this range. Huh? Right now, if you look at our SPA, we have 50, we are paying, the price overall is around 50 million euro, out of which USA is included into this. So if you remove the USA, we are at a much lower price. Now USA, we don't expect USA to be right now in the coming months at how much you said, 600 million?
No, you said 1,000 crores. So
10 billion. No, so the sales of USA will be it's really where we see the growth is not in so much in US, it's really China, Middle East, and we will capture here from India or from China. So the price is mainly based on this. USA is right now, for the time being, quite stable in revenue, but are still chasing big orders. And right now, that's what we are waiting for. So are we reaching the level that you are seeing in USA at this stage? No. That's not what we see. It will be slightly lower.
No. So this, the earlier call had mentioned 2,000 crores, and now with all the combined entity excluding US is 1,000 crores. So that's the assumption that the balance 1,000 crores will be US revenues, for which you will be paying 200 crores. The question was not about the growth. The question was about this this transaction actually.
Will it be okay from your perspective that we take it offline and we discuss more the numbers together? Because I think the numbers you have is not exactly so we need to fine tune this. Is that okay if we take it offline?
Sure. And secondly, there is some 66 crores of other income in console. What does this 66 crores comprise of?
66 crores. But here, it's most of it, so on the other income line, huh? That's what you are referring to, right, sir?
Pardon?
You are referring to the other income.
Yeah, other income of more than 60 yeah. crores in consolidated financial.
Those come from various sources, but the key source is right now more financial interest.
So basically, there is a lot of cash in Europe and Chinese business also?
There is a lot of cash in mostly more in Asia, but in Asia and in India.
But the number is not 600 crore. I mean, it is just 9 crore actually.
No, so what does 66 crores comprise of then? 66 crores of other income?
No, it's million.
So we are on million rupees. And we are for the quarter at 93 million yen. But we are from the full year, on the full year. Yeah, but that's what I was explaining. So most of it, it could be also some other income if you sell some assets, for example. But most of it is again interest, sir. Interest because of the cash, indeed.
It doesn't tally with the numbers that you're, because if there's it's such a huge interest income, and you're telling that there is no.
No, I'm saying also that there are two factors, sir. One is the sales of assets. When you have old assets, you sell of assets, and then the scrap, and you have also the gain on the interest.
Okay, so bulk of it is the sale of assets.
Part of it is sale of assets, yes. Part of it is the scrap also that we sell, because we have some scrap coming from our manufacturing, but that's more a minor point. But it's mostly sales indeed of assets. For old assets, we needed to do some space in Taloja for the roll coating, so we had to dismantle some old machines. So that's one key effect from last year. And then, indeed, we have also the interest.
Okay, and one is how much is spares and service income for the year as a whole? And what do you see that in next 3-4 years' time?
So, if I understand your question, I'm just rephrasing your question. You are asking how much is the value services into the total?
Yes.
Okay. We have seen clearly from last year to this year a shift of mix, as mentioned to you. We see that we are over the next 3 to 5 years we are looking to be at around ideally 30 to 35%.
And so just one small question, you mentioned that for my first question we can take it offline. Now how can I connect with you and
we will SGA team will make sure we connect together.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kamlesh Bagmar from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So if I compare, like, say, standalone versus console operations, so if we see the gross margins or the material margins which are there, so there is a stark difference between console and standalone margins, so roughly a gap of 1,000 bips there. So going forward, like say as our overseas operations get consolidated more and more, so where do we see our EBITDA margins moving? And because EBITDA margin in standalone is at 5.7, while in case of consol it's hardly around 1.4. So where do we see our margins like going forward? Will they converge with the standalone operation margins, or it will remain at these levels for the next couple of years?
So several factors here. First, again, I meant to you, increasing the value services should help increase furthermore the material margin. And you see that, by the way, that you see that the material margin percentage is higher outside of India, because India is quite competitive. Huh? Clearly, as mentioned, we see the impact of having this consolidation. We see also the impact of having the R&D without having the revenue of this R&D. So we clearly, where do we see improvement? First, on moving more and more activity from Europe to West, to East. That's what, number one. So getting the first synergy. Then, of course, having the revenue of the R&D that we are spending, of the people that we are spending on developing the solution will clearly come when we will have orders in the next quarters. So that should, so both, it will come both from additional revenues, but also working on our structure. As mentioned, we are right now working on aligning the structure and streamlining it. And that you will not see immediately the effect, but it will take maybe 12 to 18 months, but we are working currently on this.
And going forward, like we have a 3,000 odd crore of order book. So what is the mix there? Like say these cold rolling mills, or how much is the share of those particular segment in our total revenue? Because like say John Cockerill is a big player in the carbon capture as well. So going forward, how the mix would be in case of revenue mix? Like say how much would be the share of steel and various other metallurgies or other segments?
We have, in reality, we have mostly two segments. We have different geography with different revenue and margins, but we have really two segments. One is the processing and rolling at this stage, which is more the core model. We have the second one is the value services. And this is the one we expect also in the mix to grow, to help us to improve our material margin. The third one is really what we have, the iron and steel, but the iron and steel, as mentioned, we are developing that more new solutions, and those new solutions are not yet, we have the cost, but we have not yet the revenue. So how much will be the iron and steel? If we move forward, it can be really much bigger. But right now, there are still discussions with a potential prospect, but we have no contract in hand, so we need to be careful of what we say. So coming to what you say.
Mark, yeah. Let me complete on that. So in the steel industry, upstream, which is the liquid steel phase, is 70% of the total and overall investment. So we are coming from a downstream business, which is representing 30%. So by developing the upstream, we are opening up our revenue potential at least 2.5 times more and better than what we have done in the past. So while we have these prospects, we also need to have the right technologies, which we are aiming to develop with Voltaron and electrical arc furnace in the future. So that's something we are working on today. It is the investment time, as Mark mentioned. We hope that in the next months to come and next year will be the harvest time.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, team.
Thank you very much for your attendance. We were extremely glad and happy to exchange with you again. And as we mentioned, we still are open to continue some exchanges offline. The team remains available for building up the contact. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of John Cockerill India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.